Luke chapter 2, and I'll read, starting at verse 1, and read this Christmas account from Luke's Gospel. Now it came to pass, in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This was the first enrollment made by Quirinius, who was governor of Syria. And all went to enroll themselves, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to enroll himself with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were fulfilled that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds in the same country, abiding in the field, and keeping watch by night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning the saying which was spoken to them about this child. And all that heard it wondered at the things which were spoken unto them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, even as it was spoken unto them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, another year has gone by, and we are nearing that time when we celebrate the death of Christ, the birth of Christ, as this morning we have remembered His death. Our Father, at this time, we know His life as a whole, but we are thankful for this time when we think of His coming into the world, becoming flesh. We have read of this portion of His actual birth. Our God, we marvel. We thank You that we receive as truth these words. Let us know that some would consider a child was born. But we, our Father, accept that this child was the Son of God, the one prophesied of old, the one promised to be the Redeemer of mankind. And we accept this, and we believe it, and we rejoice, our God, that we have these words telling us the truth of the fulfillment of these promises. Therefore, let our hearts rejoice. As the angel said to the shepherds, Behold, I bring you glad tidings. We are glad that there is good news from heaven, that the Son of God has come down to save sinners. And we desire to know more of this morning. from the portion that we have read. So illumine us from heaven, we pray. And with our sins, Father, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse. And thou knowest the hearts of men. How many things fill our hearts. Lord, let us set them aside for an hour and meditate upon the teachings of thy word. And our Father, empower the lips of him who speaks, and in all things may Christ be glorified. Bless our time together this day, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Wives, be in subjection to your husband. That is marital obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That is parental obedience. And I did not read in Romans 13, but it says, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power that exists except it is ordained of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. So this is civil obedience. Do you understand? You have marital obedience, you have parental obedience, and when it says, let us be in subjection to the higher powers, this is civil obedience. And so, what form of obedience do we have this morning? We have the civil obedience of Joseph. We had him being obedient last week to God. An angel came to him in a dream and told him about the miraculous conception of the Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary, his wife. And he said, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. And he did. This was obedience. This was heavenly obedience. A message from heaven, and he is obedient to this message from heaven. Now, an entirely different message comes out. You receive them every April. It says, this is your tax form, and you always obey them, do you not? You say, yes. Well then, if God speaks to you, that is heavenly obedience. But if the higher powers that be speak to you, if you obey them, that is civil obedience. And the Word of God commands us not only to do what the Lord says, but it tells us also to do what man says. Anything that is not contrary to God's revealed will, if the authorities that exist that have spoken of as higher powers, if they give us commands, it says we are to be in subjection to them. So, Joseph was not only a good heavenly citizen, but he was a good earthly citizen as well. And I want us to remember this as Christians, because there are so many who rebel against every civil authority. You see them constantly fighting against civil authority. Now, if the civil authority is telling us to murder, that is one thing. If it is telling us to lie, to steal, to disobey the commands of God, that is one thing. But when the higher powers that be tell us to pay taxes, it says in the same chapter, Romans chapter 13, we are to pay taxes. We are to give honor to whom honor is due. And so you think of the society in which we live, and there is a structure here, and God tells us to obey civil authorities as well as angelic authorities. So, we who are citizens of heaven, remember it says in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven. But also, Paul said, I am a Roman citizen. And so we have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven, and therefore, there are moral commandments of God, and he expects us to obey them. But we are citizens also of the United States, and they are commandments of the higher powers, and those commands are to be obeyed. Now, this is what is so fascinating. If you were Joseph, and you were asleep, and an angel came to you in a dream in your sleep, and spoke to you, told you what was required of you, and you knew it was of God, you would obey. But what do you do when civil authorities send you a letter and tell you to obey? How do you feel about that? Do you feel any differently when an angel speaks to you and tells you to obey, or when a government official sends you a letter and gives you a command and tells you to obey? Which one is of God? You say, why, I know the angelic command is of God. Well, when I read to you, I quoted to you from Romans chapter 13, let every soul be in subjection to the higher power, for there is no power that exists but that is ordained of God. Therefore, he that disobeyeth, disobeyeth the command of God. Now, which command is of God? You say, why, the civil commands are as much of God as the angelic commands are of God. And I cannot argue with you. I am a minister of God. You realize that that highway patrolman that goes up and down the road, that he's a minister of God? The same word. He is a minister of God unto thee for good. You say, that's a strange concept to have. No, it isn't. The citizen of heaven should be earth's best citizen. Be law and abiding, be orderly, and keep the commandments, because it says this thing is ordained of God. But what happens is this. As a minister of the truth of God, it is possible, as there are so many ministers in the world, that some will corrupt the truth and tell you lies. Now, in like manner, God has ordained that there is civil authority, and just as there is corruption even in spiritual authority, his ministers of his word, there is also corruption in civil authority. But just because you have bad preachers, are we not to listen to any preachers? You say, no. And just because there are bad law enforcement officers, are we not to listen to any law enforcement officers? You say, no. There must be discrimination. But what we would do is this. We see in glaring headlines about evil ministers of God, and we reject them all. That is the temptation. And we see corrupt civil officials, and our tendency is to reject them all. But God says, no, we are to obey them both. And so remember, even though there are bad examples in the spiritual realm, ministers are ordained of God because it says he gave gifts unto men for our blessing. And just because you have bad ones, understand that the principle of shepherds feeding the lambs and feeding the sheep, this is a principle that's ordained of God. And God says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And I'm not going to say, well, they're bad shepherds. I'm not going to be a shepherd. You can't do that. What you have to do is to try to be the best shepherd you possibly can. You do not cease being a shepherd because you're a bad shepherd. And at the same time, because there are bad civil officials, you do not refuse to obey any of the officials, but you look for the good ones and you thank God for them. I'm glad of this. If there were some criminal that were breaking in my place of business, I would be glad if I phoned the police station that they would come. Wouldn't you? You say, yes. And so we are glad for every good official. And this is ordained of God, not the corruption. And just because there is corruption among civil officials, it doesn't mean it's not of God and it's all bad. I thank God for the principle of law and order. And just because they are bad preachers, it doesn't mean that we are not to listen to any preachers. I thank God for preachers. I thank God for the one that came and told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. Suppose there were none because some were bad. I never would have heard the way of salvation. And so thank God for good civil officials and thank God for good ministers of the gospel. Let me discriminate and know when things are right and wrong, and let me obey all that is right. Now, this is what we have in the case of Joseph this morning. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be, the word is literally enrolled, but they were enrolled for the purpose of taxation. Not only a census, but when they have the census, they know how many people they are, and they get all these particulars, what your occupation is, and what your income is, and then they know how much money they can get from you by taxation. And so it's literally that the whole inhabited earth was to be enrolled. And they have interpreted it in the King James that the whole world should be taxed. Now, here is what is so important. When Gabriel came and spoke to Mary and said, this is what God wants to be done. Mary was a virgin. She was betrothed to Joseph. And Gabriel came and told her that she was to conceive and bear a son. Now think, a prophecy so important as Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. A prophecy that important must be sent from heaven with a message from an angel, and she must be told about this prophecy, and she must obey that Isaiah 7:14 could be fulfilled. Well, let me ask you this. There is also a prophecy concerning our Savior that he was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Tell me, what angel, what message did God send forth to have his son born in Bethlehem of Judea? It came, putting it in language we understand, it came in a letter or a decree that would be tacked up where the public could see it, that those that were from Bethlehem of Judea, from that province, they were to leave wherever they lived and were to go to the origin of their birth, and that is where they were to be enrolled for the purpose of taxation. You say, isn't that a remarkable thing? I can understand about God sending an angel telling Mary that she would bear a child, a virgin shall be the child, and bring forth a son. But it says in Micah 5:2 that the governor, the shepherd, should come from Bethlehem of Judea. And God said, I'm having this prophecy fulfilled by sending forth a tax notice from Caesar Augustus. Now, grasp that concept. You say, I would know God's mind if he sent an angel from heaven and told me. But would you know God's mind if he sent a letter to you in the mail and told you you were to pay your taxes at a certain place? You say, well, I don't know that that is of God. It says, we are to be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power except of God. You say, but think of the inconvenience. Indeed, I think of all of this. I think of how inconvenient it is, and yet this is what the government says, and I want you to keep this in mind. While Joseph was told that his wife Mary was going to have that child, and while Mary was told that she was going to have the child, God did not give them one word of warning that they were to leave Nazareth and go to Bethlehem in order that Jesus might be born there. Do you understand that? You say then, some of the commands of God and the messages from God come directly and miraculously, yes, and other commands from God that are just important and are for the purpose of having prophecy fulfilled, come in the mail in the form of a tax notice. You say, well, if Mary had disobeyed God when he told her that she was to give her body to bring forth the Lord Jesus, that disobedience would have destroyed the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. Yes. And at the same time, if Joseph had read this tax notice and said, I'm not going to endanger my wife's life and take her all the way to Bethlehem of Judea to pay these taxes, I'm going to ignore this, then the disobedience of Joseph would have destroyed the prophecy of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Do you understand that? You say, yes. Then the obedience of Mary to bring forth a child was fulfilled because she was obedient. And the prophecy of Micah 5, 2 was fulfilled because of the obedience of Joseph to go where the government told him to go to pay his taxes. Now, you say that is a remarkable thing. Indeed it is. And this is what is so important for us to understand. That God at times works miraculously, speaks plainly, leaves no doubt. At other times, he lets us go through the normal course of life, let all the irritations of government and bureaucracy drive us to the point of despair, but then we do all that is lawful that the government tells us to do, and when we obey God directly, or obey God indirectly through the higher powers, we find out that the ultimate end is God's mind and the fulfillment of Scripture. Now, which was more a fulfillment of the prophecy of God? When the angel came and told Mary, or when the tax form came and told Joseph he was to go to Bethlehem of Judea? You say, one was as much as the other. Of course it was. But we would doubt about the tax form, but we would know about the angel. And what has happened now is this. I have not heard an angel tell me what to do lately. Have you? But I have ever so many commands given me by men and by male, and if they are lawful, I am to obey them. And when I do, without God having said one word, without sending an angel, without letting me know that anything miraculous is going on, all things are working together for good. And when I obey, then in my life, Micah 5:2 is fulfilled, as much as Isaiah 7:14 is fulfilled when Mary obeys the angel. You see? Now I'm going to put three things together. How was Joseph informed of the mind of God from heaven? You say, in a dream. An angel told him in a dream. Then he never had any personal conversation with a heavenly being. It all happened to him in his sleep, and an angel in a dream influenced his mind so that he knew the will of God. Tell me about Mary. How was she informed? You say, it wasn't a dream. An angel came and personally spoke to her. Yes. And so at times, God comes in a dream with an angel, and at times, God sends an angel personally to speak face to face with one like Mary. And at times, God, neither through an angel personally or through an angel in a dream, but through a letter in the mail, speaks to us. And one is just as valid as the other. And that's what we fail to understand. Now I'm going to give you a fourth. And that's why I'm speaking to you this morning. And that is why God is speaking to you through me as much as if an angel came from heaven, if I'm telling you what is in Scripture. Because the things that the angels told were of God, but then you'll find that there was an Anna in the temple, and there was a Simeon in the temple, and he took the Lord Jesus in his arms, and then he spoke to their parents. Here is a man speaking to another man and his wife about the Lord Jesus. Now, which of these? An angel personally, an angel in a dream, a letter, or Simeon or Anna telling about the Lord Jesus? Which is revealing the mind of God? You say, every one of them reveal the mind of God. Then, God has no set pattern. If he chooses, he can miraculously send an angel. He can miraculously work in our minds in a dream. He can work in a way that we do not at all suspect in a letter. Or he can have a spiritual person like Anna or Simeon to come and tell us the mind of God. And it is up to us to have discernment to know when God is speaking. But most of us are devoid of that. Listen to the Lord Jesus speaking to Peter. He says, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. And so at times God speaks directly from heaven. And even though we say, Lord, we do not realize when we say, not so, Lord, if Lord is speaking, then I am his subject and I am to do his will. But it's not so plain. But even when it is that plain, at times we say, no. At other times, it is plain. And then at times, it is obscure. And at times, it is hidden. But still, it's the mind of God. So then, you think that through. So these things that are happening, let us accept them as being of God as much as any miraculous angelic message that came from heaven. For this reason, that I am preaching to you, I can tell you this personally. I remember when God assured me it was going to happen, and I heard no voice from heaven. There was no angel, no letter in the mail, but I was assured of this, and it was true, and it turned out to be as true as when the angel came and spoke to Mary. And here is what we fail to understand. We say, well, if God doesn't speak to me directly through an angel, or if he doesn't speak to me the way the Lord Jesus spoke to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me, then it isn't the voice of God. One is as much the voice of God as the other. But the others are disguised, and it takes discernment to recognize them. And at times, we do not recognize them or understand them until after all of these events have transpired. Do you see? I wonder if Joseph realized that Micah 5:2 had to be fulfilled. Now, had he known that, I have no doubt that he would have told Mary much in advance, not waiting until about the 9th month. Told her much in advance. I know the scripture says that your child is to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. We have to make arrangements to go up there so that he will be born there. I do not even know if he were aware of that scripture. For this reason, you'll find in John 2 that there were prophetical scriptures that were being fulfilled, and it said they didn't realize it till after the resurrection of Christ. Some of them were fulfilled, and they understood them. When the Lord Jesus cleansed the temple, they remembered the scripture, the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up. Oh yes, the scripture is fulfilled. But about the resurrection of Christ, it said they did not understand about the fulfillment of this scripture until after he was risen from the dead. And so here is Joseph, and he goes up to Bethlehem of Judea, and then later, as he would think the thing over, pondering in his mind, why would God let this happen to me? Now understand, think of the inconvenience. He has a carpenter shop in Nazareth. He has a wife that's pregnant and traveling all these miles during the 9th month of her pregnancy. She was great with child. This is endangering her life. Why would you do this to me, God? You understand? And yet, this is the way that God wanted it to be done. And so, here is what you have to understand. That if God arranges it this way, you accept it this way. And take it from God. You say, this thing can't be. Here is the Savior of the world that's to be born. And am I to risk a miscarriage by her traveling all these miles? He could not leave her alone. Who is going to believe this virgin birth, this miraculous conception? He had to take her with him. And so he does take her with him. And he leaves all into the hands of God. And that's what we have to do at times. At times, when there is inconvenience and when there is an endangering of life, but we know it has to be done, we can trust God. Now, here's what I want to tell you about. It says in Exodus, that's all I'll tell you, it says in Exodus that God had given a command for all the men of Israel to appear before him, finally, in Jerusalem. You have to be in Jerusalem 3 times in the year. But what about all of the things I'm leaving behind? There was no security for my property. God made this promise. And when you go up and remember me in Jerusalem, it shall not come into any of the minds of your enemies to want your property. Isn't that remarkable? That when they are going to obey God, God has already anticipated what they are thinking about. If I leave everything behind in obedience to God, what will happen to it? And God says this, I'll keep it out of the minds of your enemies to want your property. Isn't that remarkable? You say, it certainly is. Now, he did not promise them that if they stayed home and protected their property, it would not come in the minds of their enemies to want the property. But to expose that property to danger by obeying God and worshiping him and keeping the feast in Jerusalem, he said, I won't let it come in the minds of your enemies to even want your property. Can you trust God that much? Isn't that a remarkable thing? You say, then, if I know it is the mind of God, if there is inconvenience and if there is the endangering of life, if I know it is the mind of God, I can trust him to preserve and to safely take me to my destination that his will might be done. Why, of course you can. It takes faith, but that is what you have to do. You have to trust God. Now, if that is so, and I dread telling people these things because the Lord is able to say, oh, you told them that. You can trust me, can you? Then we'll just see. But I can remember in my youth, I used to preach in Canada in January. And now, if there's a little sprinkling of snow on the ground, I don't even want to get in the car and go out and drive down the street. I would drive from North Carolina through snowstorms in Buffalo, New York, and at times 2 snowstorms converge. I remember being in Virginia when the snow was so thick, the man pleaded with me, don't try to drive. And I drove all night through the snow up to Buffalo, New York, on up into Canada. And when Sunday morning came in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Mills, it was announced to speak. He was in the pulpit speaking. And I don't know if I have that courage today. But I had committed myself to speak to them. And the only way I had to get there was my car. And this was an old, old, broken down car. And it had no snow tires. And somehow God got me there. But had I used my natural reasoning and thought of the danger and inconvenience, I simply would have picked up the phone in the motel and phoned ahead and said, I'm sorry, there are 2 snowstorms in New York and in Virginia, and it's impossible for me to get there. But I was young then and didn't think the way I think as an older man, and so I went through, and I never missed an engagement. Isn't that remarkable? So this is the way God can do. You say, well, I haven't had those experiences. No, because we don't trust God that much. We don't know his will, and because of that, we don't attempt to do his will. So we never have the experience of Joseph and Mary and get to Bethlehem of Judea without any direct message of God. So I want you to see this. Concerning Joseph, and this is what is so important, Joseph was never spoken to face to face. He was always spoken to in dreams. But when there was a crisis, when he was about to put Mary away, the angel said, no, take her to be your wife. Then, when Herod was going to seek to destroy the child, God said to him, go down into Egypt. He told Joseph to go down into Egypt, and he went into Egypt, and Hosea, out of Egypt have I called my son. The prophecy of Hosea was fulfilled. And then, after Herod had died, the angel said to him, now you have to move back to Palestine. And when he came to Palestine, there was still danger, and an angel said, don't go there yet. And when the angel told him that, to be out of danger, he went to Nazareth in fulfillment of more scripture. And these three times, at least, Joseph was spoken to at a crisis in his life. But, and I'm not sure, except for this, that we have absolutely no record of the angel telling Joseph to go to Bethlehem of Judea. We have no record of him telling him anything other than what we have recorded in the book of Matthew. And this, we have no record of any miraculous message from God being told Mary except that she was going to have a child. And after that, everything was directed to her husband. And Mary could say, I'm the one that's having the child. But after Gabriel had told Mary, you are going to have the child, no more messages to Mary. Her husband would come and say, God spoke to me. We are to do this. We are to go to Bethlehem of Judea. I'm about ready to have the child. God told me that. Now, here, in these other scriptures, we have Joseph saying, take this scripture rather than Bethlehem. God has told me we are to go down into Egypt. We know no one in Egypt. God has told me to go into Egypt. God has told me to go to Nazareth. And now, having been told by the angel concerning the birth, personally to Mary, afterwards, everything is told to Joseph, and Joseph says, the Lord wants us in Egypt. The Lord wants us in Nazareth. And that is the way it works. And so at times, you have to listen to me. God is speaking to you through me. At times, God speaks directly to you, as he did to Mary. After that, he spoke to Mary always through Joseph. And you have to be in subjection and believe it. It says, obey those that have the rule over you. You are to have discernment. Of course, if someone that has the rule over you tells you something that's sinful, you are not to do it. But if he tells you what is scriptural, you are to do it. And you accept it as being from God as much as if an angel told you that. And when the tax form comes, it says, we are to give taxes to whom taxes are due, the tribute to whom tribute is due. And it says, God has ministers. And so, because of that, I'm not concerned now. He spoke to people once, like Mary, and that's all that he did. Afterwards, he spoke to Mary through her husband, and he spoke to her through her son. Because when she spoke to her son and said, do you not understand that your father and I have been concerned about you? He said, how is it that you sought me? Did you not understand that I must be in my father's business? You didn't understand that? Here is God speaking to her through her son. God speaks to us in ever so many ways. Listen to this. Now, from the fig tree, learn her parable. God speaks to us through nature. But most of us are so dull that it would require a glorious angel coming from heaven, and then we would say, I wonder if God spoke to me. That might be good. Because Paul said, if an angel from heaven tells you anything that isn't true, then let him be anathema. You must understand that. But we must be discerning, and we must understand this is the voice of God. And so we must listen. And so in the past, there are those like Thomas who see and feel the resurrected Christ and believe, and there are those such as you and I who have never heard an angel's voice or seen an angel or had God speak to us, and yet within our hearts we know that God has spoken to us through His Word, through His servant, through circumstances, through whatever means God chooses to use, and we must be discerning. And notice, for all of those that are discerning and hear God's voice, whether through an angel or through a letter or through a civil authority, if we are obedient, God's will is always done. And Christ is born of a virgin, and Christ is born in Bethlehem of Judea, and whatever God wants to be done is done. Like this, there is a eunuch that wants to be saved, and God has an angel to tell Philip, go speak to that eunuch. And it starts out with the angel beginning to tell him, and then the Spirit of God takes up the rest of the message, and the eunuch is saved. So God's will is going to be done. Let us listen to God's voice, whatever means God uses to bring it to our ears. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, for Joseph, for Mary, for every child of God who has heard your voice, however you have uttered it, we are thankful that they have heard and that they have been obedient. We are thankful, our Father, that all of the scriptures that were prophesied have come to pass, have been fulfilled. And we have faith and we know that all the others that are still in the future, the prophecies are to be fulfilled. They shall be fulfilled. So, Lord, we thank you for the certainty of the things of the past. We thank you for faith, for the certainty of the things of the future. So let us be discerning, Christian, and let us hear thy voice. But most of all, let us be obedient to thy voice. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.